in Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Kaviraj Goswami narrates the tour of South India of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Contained within is his visit to Gokarna. After visiting Udupi and having an in-depth discussion in philosophy with the Tattvavadis, he proceeded north and came to Gokarna. Of course, everywhere Lord Chaitanya went during his South Indian tour, he had the same formula of transforming people's hearts. He would induce them with all humility and love to chant the holy names of Krishna. When they would chant the names, he would often embrace them and fill their hearts with Krishna prema. And wherever he went, as the Yuga Avatar, he personally demonstrated the congregational chanting by dancing in great happiness while loudly singing Krishna prema.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna!
This was also a place that was worshipped by Shripad Shankaracharya, Shripad Madhvacharya, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so many very, very great personalities. The history of Gokarna is found in various Puranas. It is explained how at the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma manifested Shiva in this particular universe by giving birth to him from between his eyes. Lord Shiva was then requested by Lord Brahma to help him in the matter of creating the various species of life within the creation of the universe. Lord Shiva went to the bottom of the universe, Patala Loka, and his idea was to create every living being in perfection. He wanted them to have all the best possible qualities. So in order to do so, he performed very, very deep penance and austerities, praying at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many ages went by. Brahma, seeing that it was taking too long, he personally, himself, and with the help of other Prajapatis, created so many multifarious different living beings in different bodies. So when Lord Shiva saw this happened, he and Parvati came up from the Patala region and they wanted to come into the earth. But Mother Earth told him that the weight of your body due to your immeasurable divine strength is too much of a burden for me to contain within my own womb. So she requests he take a very small size and then she would allow him to manifest himself with me upon the earth. So Shiva took the size like a thumb and entered into the womb of Mother Earth. And then by the arrangement of Bhumi Devi, he came out of her ear at this very place. Lord Shiva was so very happy by her service, by her motherly love, that he said, because you are, Bhumi is often compared to a cow, and this place, there you go. Very auspicious. We're just talking about cows. She's taking you by your sika. I've never seen this before. For those in all future generations listening to this tape, as we're talking about Mother Earth taking the form of a cow, a beautiful little calf came and started eating one of our devotees' sikas, pulling him, dragging him. So Lord Shiva said, because this is the place of the ear of the cow of Mother Earth, this place will forevermore be worshipped as Gokarna. The actual place where Lord Shiva took birth from the ear of the cow is just to the left of our temple. There's a Shiva Lingam there that is known as Adi Gokarna. It is explained how Lord Shiva, he extracted the essence of everything within Brahma's creation, as well as himself and Brahma, and to some extent Vishnu as well, and placed it within the form of a divine deer. Because he extracted the prana, the spiritual energy, as well as the material energy from everything, the demigods and all creation was very, very weakened and practically immobilized. So they approached Lord Brahma, who was also helpless in the situation, and brought them to Lord Vishnu. So he said that Lord Shiva is living in Kailash, and if we all approach him with humility and offer our prayers and our eagerness to serve, then he will bless us. So the demigods approached, and Lord Shiva gave their powers back to them, and also Brahma and Vishnu. And he himself maintained the essence of his own powers in one Shiva Lingam called Prana Lingam that he personally worshipped in Mount Kailash. This had such immense potency. One time, the demigods were defeated by the demons. So they all approached Mount Kailash, and Lord Shiva allowed them to worship this Prana Linga, and they developed such strength that immediately they totally waged war against the demons and were victorious. Ravana heard about this Atmalinga. You know all the ambition of Ravana to get power, to control and enjoy everything within the universal creation. Lust burns like fire. And however much lust burns and is never satisfied, the ego burns even more uproarious. So Ravana was an egomaniac, lusty sense enjoyment. And the more power you have, the more you have to obtain for your enjoyment. It already caused such havoc everywhere. But he understood, if he had this Atmalingam of Lord Shiva in Sri Lanka, he would be immortal and nothing could possibly conquer him. So he went to Mount Kailash and he prayed to Lord Shiva, please give me this Prana Lingam. Lord Shiva said, no, I cannot give this to you. It's too much powers. So he knew that Lord Shiva's Ashutosh, And if you perform enough austerity for him, his heart becomes very soft and he'll give you what you want. So he, at the base of Mount Kailash, Ravana performed severe austerity for many, many years, to the extent that one of the pujaris here was telling us that he cut off one of his own heads and he made it into a veena. And he was singing, playing the veena, which was echoing from his head, and singing the glories of Lord Shiva. Something like that. So ultimately Lord Shiva said, all right, I will give you what you so desire. I will give you this Ranalingam. However, when you take it back to Sri Lanka, you have to walk with bare feet all the way. And if anywhere you put this lingam down and it touches the earth, it will stay there and never move again. So this was agreed. Meanwhile, Sri Narada Muni, he saw what was happening. He went to Indraloka. At that time, Ravana was still performing his tapasya. He told Indra, if he gets this pranalingam, he's going to be so powerful, there's nothing you can do to resist him. So Indra went to Brahma. And the demigods, they all went as fast as they possibly could to Kailash, and they approached Lord Shiva and said, please, please, do not give him this Shiva lingam. Lord Shiva said, I already gave it to him. He's all, where is he? Where is he? He's walking back to Sri Lanka. At that time, they found that Ravana was just walking in this area that we're in now, Gokarna. It's very beautiful stereo effects of these bulls roaring and cows mooing. There you go. Where did I leave off?
Walking in this area.
He's walking in Gokarna. At that time, the demigods didn't know what to do, so along with Brahma, they approached Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu told them that, I have a plan. He personally called for Ganapati. Told Ganeshji that you transform your body into that of a very small brahmachari cowherd boy. And when Ravana, I predict he will give you the Shiva Lingam to hold when he's doing his Gayatri, his Sandhya Vandanam. At that time, you must put it on the ground. So he disguised himself and was standing right here. At that time, Lord Vishnu took a Sudarshan Chakra and covered the sun. So it appeared like it was evening time. And Ravana, although he was a terrible demon, he was also a Brahmin. He's a Brahmin Rakshasa. And one of the reasons he had such powerful brahminical powers that he was misusing disgracefully is he observed brahminical duties very carefully. One is he would, every evening at the sunset time and morning at the sunrise time, he would do his Gayatri Sandhya Vandanam. So he began to think, I have to do my prayers just now. Exactly what he prayed is not very brahminical, but the fact that he prayed was brahminical. So he saw this little cowherd boy, and he told him, I want you to hold the lingam. Do not let it touch the ground. I have to do my prayers. Ganapatiji said, I will hold, but if it gets too heavy, I will call your name 3 times. And after 3 times, I may have to put it on the ground. Ravan said, all right. He became immersed in his meditation of all the 3 worlds. Very, very heavy. Ganapati, he goes, Ravana, 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 it's too heavy. But Ravana was not there on time, so he placed it in the ground. And just immediately after placing it in the ground, Vishnu removed his chakra from the sun, and it became broad daylight. Did you ever see a moment after sunset it becomes broad daylight? This is the power of Krishna. To delude those who are too much attached to material existence. Actually, this story is very, very much instructive to all of us. Through the Lord's illusory energy, he makes day appear like night and night appear like day to the conditioned souls. The conditioned soul is thinking that happiness is in enjoying material sense enjoyment. But actually, enjoying material sense enjoyment is the cause of all suffering. It's the very reason for the repetition of birth and death. But we're madly striving for that which causes us misery. Yani sha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyane yasyam jagrati bhutani shani sha pashutamuna. What is night for the conditioned soul is day for the devotee. And the time when a conditioned soul is wide awake to enjoy, a devotee is fast asleep. In this way, through the illusory energy, the Supreme Lord deludes and exploits, cheats those who are envious. So it became light. And Ravana immediately, what is this? He went, where is Pranalingam? He came and there he saw the little cowherd boy, Brahmachari, standing, and the lingam was on the ground. What is this you put on the ground? I called your name, you didn't come. So Lord Ravana, he tried to lift the lingam. But by that time, the lingam was Mahabaleshwar, very powerful. Ravana is Bala, he's very powerful. But the Shiva linga was Mahabala, more powerful. Ravana tried to pick it up. He hugged it with his arms. He has 20 arms. And he was lifting, but it didn't move. He was struggling, straining with everything he possibly could. He was just trying to lift that lingam to bring it to Sri Lanka, but it wouldn't move. It is explained that he was so utterly angry. He was doing everything he could. He was punching it, he was kicking it, he was pulling it, he was pushing it, he was doing everything. And part of the lingam's little pieces broke. And there are several holy places in this area where little pieces of that prana lingam fell, where there are other Shiva lingams people go to worship. He tried all day. He was so exhausted from this hard work that he fell to the ground in utter exhaustion, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths. He was so disappointed. And just standing nearby, Ganapati was watching very happily. And Ravana could hear the demigods laughing at him, which humiliated his heart unbearably. So he went up to Ganapati and with his strong fist punched him on the head. Then he went back to Sri Lanka. The demigods were so happy that they all descended. And they awarded Ganapati eternal fame for the service that he had done. And Lord Shiva himself personally came as well. And what they did is they asked Vishwakarma to go to the Gandaki River to get a beautiful shalagram Shiva to put around the deity of Lord Shiva, which he did. And if you see in the temple, there is a Vishnu Shalagram Shiva, which is that beautiful square deity. And underneath and inside of that is the Prana Atmalingam of Shiva. So it is also called Harihara Kshetra, because both Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva are residing together. And once every 12 years, they, with much ritual and celebration, they move the Shalagram Shiva so that people could directly see the full Shiva Lingam. The Mahabaleshwaram Lingam is about 1.5 feet high, and that could be seen every 12 years only. However, the last time it was shown was 1983. Because when it is announced that they're going to give the full darshan of Mahabaleshwaram, hundreds and thousands of people come to this little temple from all over India. And because this town has no facility for toilets or for guest house or for food or for anything, the local governments have told them that you cannot remove it until there is proper facilities to take care of the tourists, the pilgrims. So they're hoping that next year they will give the special darshan of Sri Mahabaleshwaram, Shankar Bhagavan. Lord Shiva, along with Parvati, came here and personally worshipped this form of himself. And when he did, he gave the benediction to his son Ganapati, that because of the wonderful service that you did by arranging for Mahabaleshwaram to always be here in my birthplace, Gokarna, therefore I give benediction to you, that no one will get any proper spiritual benediction by worshipping Mahabaleshwar Mahadev unless they first go and worship Ganapati. His name here is?
Mahaganapati.
It's a beautiful form of Lord Ganesh. When you go to have his darshan, you will see that he's standing up, and he only has two arms, because this is the way he was when he took this disguise to trick Ravana. And you will also see that his head is slightly tilted forward. For one reason, because he was holding Mahabaleshwaram for quite a while. And also because Ravanaji hit him on the head. We will go. We bathed in Kotish Tirtha. The story that is told about this place is one time Garudaji, he was carrying a serpent. Trumukhi was the name of the serpent. He was flying in the sky. And he came over a very, very sacred mountain in Himalayas called Satashringa. Just as Lord Shiva has a mountain called Kailash, Lord Brahma at one time had a mountain that he would sometimes reside and visit in Himalayas. So the serpent fell in one of the valleys of that beautiful hermitage. Garuda was looking all over for it, but he could not find it. So he decided to just pick up the whole mountain. Brahma's mountain. Meanwhile, Brahma was sleeping. So he started flying with this mountain, Saptashringa. And as he was flying, he came just over Gokarna. At that time, Brahma woke up. And he saw that his abode was flying in the sky. So he put pressure on the mountain, which made it so immensely heavy that they were just close to the sea. You'll see the seashore, just a few minute walk from here. So heavy that he was about to go down with the mountain into the sea. Agastya Muni was performing his tapasya here. At that time, Agastya Muni told him that this is Lord Shiva's will. This is his abode. This is Gokarna. He wants the mountain here. You should just put the mountain here. So he placed the mountain here. On that mountain were two crores for 20,000 holy places of Tirtha. Half of them, that means 10 million Tirthas fell into the ocean. And the other 10 million entered into Kotish Tirtha, the place where we just bathed. So ever since that is one of the very, very holy places of Gokarna. In fact, Lord Sri Ramchandra, after he killed Ravana, Vasishtha Muni informed him that he was a Brahmin, and as an example for humanity, you have to perform some tapasya to purify yourself. Of course, the Lord is always pure. But he acts like a human to teach us that we must atone for sinful activities or offenses that we may make. So it is explained that he came here to Gokarna and he personally worshipped Mahabaleshwaram and took his bath in Kotish Tirtha. There are many, many stories and there are many temples here. A very, very sacred place for all of our sampradayas. We're very fortunate that we have come here. Especially, we should meditate on the story of Ravana, how he was bewildered by the Lord. You know the story of Vrikasura. It is a similar story also took place here. Vrikasura was such a demon that he got the benediction of Lord Shiva that anyone whose head I touch is that head will crack into thousands of pieces. But then he was very lusty for Parvati, so he wanted to touch Shiva's head so there would be no impediment to him enjoying Parvati. So Shiva ran away. But Lord Vishnu appeared in the guise of a very small boy and said, "Oh, you are thinking that you will touch Shiva's head and it will crack. But Shiva's benedictions, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't work. I have seen. Everyone's watching. For one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. You'll touch his head, nothing will happen. You'll be humiliated immortally." "What should I do?" "You touch your head, make sure it works." He touched his head. This is how Lord Vishnu bewilders everybody. Material life simply doesn't make sense to anyone with any rational intelligence. Yudhisthira Maharaj said the greatest, most amazing thing in all of creation is everyone's dying. And everyone's seeing everyone around them dying, and everyone is thinking, "Let me enjoy, for I will not die today." It's simply amazing. Now we read in Srimad Bhagavatam and other great scriptures how the rishis, they glorify the Lord for the power and potency of his illusory energy. Maya means that which is not. We see a form and we think this is so beautiful, but that's not what it is. It's a perverted reflection, a shadow perverted reflection of the real beauty of Krishna. And when we ask people to surrender to Krishna, they say, no, I'm too much attached to this form. One is the source of misery, one is the source of bliss. But even devotees who know the philosophy, who could cite thousands of slokas, still, it's very, very difficult to give up the illusion that I'm the enjoyer, that I'm God. We have to go to the bathroom and we go running like a baby, begging someone's house, please let me in. And yet we think we're the enjoyer, which means we think we're God. It's ridiculous, ludicrous, insane. How is it possible? It's the power of illusion, the power of Maya. Ravana was told by Kumbhakarna, give back Sita. He was told by Vibhishan, give back Sita. He was told by his wife, Mandodari, give back Sita. He was told by Hanumanji, give back Sita. He was told by Sita herself, you'll never, ever, ever be able to touch me. Every one of these personalities, his brothers, his wife, his well-wishers, will be destroyed. You cannot enjoy her. But yet the power of illusion was that he still thought that I can enjoy her. What's the difference between Ravana and the rest of us? Every religious scripture, every saintly person is telling us, give up sense gratification. But we can't do it. Because the power of this illusory energy is so amazingly, incredibly deluding. What makes absolutely no sense to anyone who has a clear mind appears to be the most sensible thing in all of existence to everyone who is deluded by Maya. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explained, do not put any faith in anyone except the Lord, his representatives, and his holy scriptures. For ultimate salvation, everyone else can only cheat you by presenting illusory alternatives to the alleviation of suffering and the threshold of entering real happiness. So here at Sri Gokarna, Mahabaleshwara Mandir, we should pray. We should pray first of all to Lord Ganapati, Mahaganapati. Please remove the obstacles from the path of devotional service for my heart. Then Lord Shiva, whose consort is Parvati. There's a very, very famous ancient temple of Parvati behind the Mahabaleshwaram temple. When you go to see Parvati, you should beg her, please, please, Parvati Devi, release me from your illusions and engage me once again in the eternal loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And when we approach Sri Mahabaleshwaram, Shankar Bhagavan, we should pray, Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu, you are the greatest devotee, Lord Shiva. You can give material benedictions, you can give mukti or liberation, but I don't want any of these things. As a great devotee, please bless me with the spiritual strength, with the proper wisdom, so I can always be engaged in the loving service of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Give me the power of your mercy to gain true unalloyed devotion in this life. Sri Gokarna Kshetra Ki
Jai.
Thank you very much. At this time, Krishnananda Prabhu is our Panda. He will take us to the proper process, not the bogus process that you've already done. He will take you first to Mahaganapati Mandir, that beautiful, beautiful form of Sri Ganapati. We will worship and offer our prayers in a proper Vaishnav mood. Another darshan of Sri Mahabaleshwaram. But first, we will go to Adi Gokarna.